In the Rockwood United Methodist Church. We're glad to see you here. Hope you enjoy the service and enjoy some fellowship. Today is Cookie Cake and Ice Cream Day. We celebrate birthdays and anniversaries today. So after the service, please stop on by next door and let's sit down, talk a little, and have some treats. I think that's all I've got for announcement. Well, what was next Sunday?
Next Sunday is time
change. Yes. That's a good reminder. Next Sunday is the time change, so let's remember to set the clock back this year, and we'll see everybody here on time next Sunday. And well, we don't forget about it, and I won't either. So does anybody have any other announcements for today?
Thank you.
Good morning. All right, our call to worship is 298, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It'll also be up here on the...
Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin this church service, we come before you with our hearts filled with gratitude. We recognize the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, both seen and unseen. Help us to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness that extends beyond this moment and into every aspect of our lives. Teach us to count our blessings and to be mindful of your goodness in all circumstances. Lord, as we worship you today, may our gratitude be genuine and heartfelt. We thank you for your provision, your guidance, and your unending love. May our lives be a continuous expression of gratitude to you. Amen.
Okay, our first hymn is 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Jesus is in our midst. Jesus, our healer, deliverer, and friend, is here. But we long to meet him, to encounter him ourselves. Call out to him and do not be silent. Like Bartimaeus, shout to him and do not allow anyone to silence your voice. Cry out and tell Jesus what you need.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us.
Touch me, heart, which lifts you. In this time of worship, celebrate God's goodness. In this time of celebration of worship, know that Jesus touched your place of need. Hallelujah and amen. Well, it sounds repetitious, but again, my concerns are we have a lot of war in this world, and over the past few weeks, we've been praying to, Lord, bring us peace in this world, and I guess, unfortunately, it seems like last week, now Iran is getting more involved in these wars. So, Lord, again, I would say, let us all pray for peace in this world and end these terrible wars and all the strife and all the hate and all the destruction and death and ruining of lives. And again, the hurricane victims still need a lot of help. There are still people without power. There's still at least a couple of towns I know of who are still cut off from the world because their roads or their bridges have washed out. They're not having a very easy time of it. So let us all pray for them also. Does anybody else have any concerns or joys? Okay. Lord God, our provider, we worship you as the one who meets our needs, who grants our daily bread, who restores our humanity. We worship you as the God who knows human need from experience, who knows want and thirst and humiliation. And we worship you as your people in a world where wealth is mixed with poverty, where we all have need, but we don't all know how to share. Where want and hunger and thirst and humiliation are hidden from those with the power to offer challenge and bring change. So open our hearts, not only that we learn sad facts about the world, but that we may feel our place in this world as your people. Where there is need, teach us to learn where our wealth lies and to help us give it. Where there is injustice, teach us to learn the causes and help us to fight. Where there is brokenness, reach us to learn of our own brokenness and help us to bring wholeness. Help us to look to you that we neither remain ignorant of the world nor lose ourselves in despair at its brokenness. Show us how to worship you, the crucified God, the risen God, the God who provides. Help us to carry our cross, to accept your gift to us of new life, and to bring that gift to others. Let us now pray the Lord's Prayer together as one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And would the ushers come up? And merciful God, you open our eyes to your truth, and we bring your gifts to you with gratitude. As we reflect on the story of Bartimaeus, we bring you our offerings as a response to your call, a step in faith to follow you more closely. Use these gifts to spread your love and light, helping others to see your grace and mercy. Bless our grieving and open our hearts to see the needs around us, so that may we serve with compassion and humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn is 530, Are Ye Able?
Mm-hmm.
Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples, a sizable crowd, a blind man named Bartimaeus, Tim's son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged. Get up. He is calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want for me to do?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has healed you." And at once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oops. They told Bartimaeus to be quiet. They told him to keep to the margins, to stay away, not to interrupt. But he kept on shouting. Now here's the amazing part of all this. Jesus asked him what he wanted. Now I know you're thinking, what was so amazing about that question? He was shouting for attention. And of course, he was going to know what he wanted. But I found that isn't always true. Sometimes the loudest shouters don't really know what they want. They only know that they aren't happy, or they're not getting their own way, or they're forced into some changes or some position that they don't want. So they may be able to answer Jesus if he asks them, "What don't you want?" or "Why are you unhappy?" But Jesus doesn't tend to ask what is wrong. He asked, "What would it take to make it right? What do you want for me to do for you?" Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. "Let me see again." Not solve all my problems or make things bad or bad people go away. He asked, "Let me see again. Then from there, I will follow you. From there, I will let you become my will as I daily search out the path that you would have me to walk. Let me see again so that I can be about the business of opening eyes to who you are and to what you have to offer this world that clings to its own blindness. Let me see again so that I can find you whenever I need to." Now, we've been walking with Jesus through the 10th chapter of Mark, and now we're at the end, watching blind Bartimaeus receive his sight. And we wonder what we may have missed along the way. What would we have been among the hushers when the beggar at the gates of Jericho started shouting that day? Or would we have seen him as Jesus saw him, not as a problem to be solved or an issue to be debated, but as a man with agency, a man with the ability to decide and determine and choose? "Let me see," Bartimaeus declares that sunny day outside the walls of Jericho. Maybe that should be our cry too, our prayer and our hope. Maybe that should be our spiritual discipline this fall. Take a walk around the neighborhood where our church sits. What do you see? What draws your attention? What shouts to you as you pass? Let Jesus open your eyes to the familiar, and maybe we can see it in a whole new way. Look at our building. Sure, it's familiar and welcoming to you and all of us. But this is accessible to all. Is there an invitation to the art and color and look and the feel of the place? Is there something that speaks not only of our story and our faith, but something that looks familiar to the community around you? Does the face of Jesus that you project resemble us or them or both? It comes down to whether we are among those who are telling the outsider, the stranger, the marginalized, to be quiet and not to disturb the status quo, or whether we chose to be those who say, take heart, he is calling you. Take heart, this message is for you. This hope is for you and not just for us. Sure, we have blindnesses that need to be healed as well. Yes, we need to hear the voice of Jesus calling us and asking us what we need. We are a part of those to whom Jesus has come, but we often, knowingly or unknowingly, hoard that message, that voice, that partner with whom we were to walk as though he were our special possession and not the one that came to make the world whole. Like James and John in last week's text, we want to claim places of honor as our right. What walking with Jesus teaches us is that we aren't the ones guiding the path. We aren't the ones who are determining where to go. We've surrendered that responsibility when we decided to follow him. Bartimaeus saw that. We could learn from one who is blind, but now sees, because he asked, let me see. Have you ever walked through your neighborhood with someone who's never been there before? If not, try it sometimes. It's amazing what a new person will notice about your street that you just don't pay attention to anymore. Now, here's another example. You're having a busy day. Your mind is filled with things to do, items to purchase, or people to see. You leave your house, get in your car, and drive to a very familiar destination. It might be your workplace or a store or anywhere else, someplace you're familiar with. You've driven there many times, and the trip is totally familiar to you. Sometimes after you arrive at your destination, it occurs to you that you really do not remember driving there. Ever have that happen to you? I know I have. As you think back about your trip, you realize that you've driven there on some kind of autopilot without any conscious thought. Our minds are capable of minimizing routine mundane tasks while concentrating on more pressing or more urgent matters at the same time. While this can be helpful, it can also cause a problem, especially if our minds tend to get our priorities a little bit off and not straight. Perhaps it's a bit like how the crowd felt when Jesus stopped and responded to Bartimaeus in today's scripture. Had the crowd gotten so used to Bartimaeus' shouting that they neglected to actually pay attention to what he was saying? How many times had he called out for mercy, only to have his neighbors treat him as one that's more ignorable? Maybe that's not fair, or not entirely fair. Sometimes we choose not to pay attention because we feel helpless to do anything, or that noticing would require us to do something. But whether we are more like the crowd, or more like Bartimaeus, or perhaps a mixture of the two, there's a good chance that some of us are coming to worship this Sunday, struggling to see and feel seen, hear and be heard, or know and feel known. Now, let me be clear that today's scripture is not about physical blindness being a result of sin, nor is it a lesson in salvation as a restoration of physical sight. For centuries, Christians have failed to pay attention to our disabled siblings, and the harm that equating disability with sin or salvation with the removal of disability has done much harm. So how do we help our people notice what Jesus notices? One way would be to commit ourselves to recognize areas of need and the people crying out for mercy who have been ignored for far too long. Now, when I first started preaching, there was one thing that really bothered me a lot. It seemed that in my mind, all I was doing was telling people what they were doing wrong, and it disturbed me. I mean, I didn't think that's what I was here for, but that's what it seemed to me. You know, after I did some reading and some praying, I realized that I had it wrong. What I was doing was either teaching or reminding you to see and to concentrate on what the intent of our Heavenly Father's words were. Whatever had been done in the past was over, and if needed or wanted, forgiveness could be asked for. But from that point on, it was up to each of us to take advantage of the blessing that God gave us of our choice. It was then our option to see the intent of God's words and govern our own actions accordingly by either following God's path or following our own minds. It's for us to decide, each of us, which way to choose. When we gather for worship, Jesus pays attention and asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" May our answer lead us into the greater connections and more meaningful insights with God, ourselves, our neighbor, and creation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing 714.
Beloved, go now in the blessing of Christ's mercy. May God grant you persistence to cry out for help, an open heart to notice the cries of others, and the courage to listen and lend a loving hand to neighbors, both known and unknown. Go now in peace and spread the words you have heard today to all others that you meet in the coming days and week. Amen.